Well, it's now 25 years since these three Aboriginal children were murdered in the mid-North Coast, New South Wales town of Bowraville. And for those 25 years, the families have been making one pretty straightforward but extremely powerful request, which is to have the trials for the three murders heard together, because there's a compelling case that links the same person to each of the murders. Instead of that, the New South Wales police, the initial investigation was terrible, just an awful investigation into the murders, in fact initially focused on the families as the potential culprits. And because of the way the law was at the time, two of the murders came to separate trials and the accused was acquitted in each case. Since that time, there's been a truly excellent police investigation. In fact, there's an extraordinary police officer, a guy called Gary Jubelin, who's now worked with the families and communities and pulled together extremely strong prosecution briefs. But it relies upon having all three murders heard together, the trials for all three murders heard together. And to have that happen, well, then there needs to be an application for a retrial in those two murders where there's been an acquittal. And that's where we confront the issue of double jeopardy. The law basically says you can't constantly go back and retry people. You can only do it where there's fresh and compelling evidence. And the families and the police now say they've got what they think is fresh and compelling evidence, but because of a legal technicality, neither the Attorney General or the Director of Public Prosecutions agrees with that point about it being fresh and compelling. And so what a parliamentary inquiry that I was on, in fact, instituted and said was, well, if there's this legal technicality that's stopping this trial happening, let's change the law, get rid of the legal technicality and allow all three murders to be tried together. That went off to a review by a bloke called Justice Wood, and he just came back and said, well, he doesn't think anything's broken, there's nothing wrong with the law, no need to fix it, and that's left the families in limbo again.
The family can still request a retrial even under the current laws.
The real reason that Justice Wood decided that he wouldn't recommend a legal change was that he said that the current laws get the balance right on double jeopardy. They stop people being prosecuted too often, being prosecuted more than once, except for in compelling cases. And that he thought, you know, it left a reasonable opportunity for a retrial where there was a compelling case. I think the real problem with Justice Wood's conclusion was that despite him saying it gets the balance right, these laws have been on the statute books for a decade and there hasn't been a single, not one application under the double jeopardy laws. So it's pretty hard to see how that gets the balance right. But there is still the existing avenue for the families to make an application to the Attorney General. The Attorney General has to give consent before the case can then be presented to the Court of Appeal, and then the Court of Appeal can work out whether or not, in the interest of justice, a retrial should be ordered. It's a multiple-step process with lots of checks and balances in it to ensure that someone isn't being inappropriately prosecuted. And the families have made three prior applications to the Attorney General, and on each occasion they've been refused. The Attorney General's refused to allow the case even to go to the Court of Criminal Appeal to decide whether or not a retrial should be ordered. They can't even get to first base. So they are now making yet another application, both the police and the families are making another application under the existing, we say, somewhat flawed double jeopardy laws. But this time they've got further evidence. I think they've got a more compelling case. And there's a recommendation from the parliamentary inquiry to say that, well, when this application is made, instead of being considered by the usual suspects, either the Attorney General or the DPP in New South Wales, who seem to have, I suppose you'd best say, a biased view against this application, that this fresh application needs to be assessed by someone entirely outside of New South Wales. A senior judge or a senior prosecutor who hasn't had any prior connection with the case, so that the family's application can be given a fair dinkum and unbiased assessment. And so that's the point we're at, where the families, the police, myself, we're all making the same demands. The Attorney General needs, when this application lands on her desk, needs to send it off for a genuinely independent review by a senior judge or prosecutor outside of New South Wales.
You've actually spent quite a lot of time to compile a parliamentary report. Can you talk about the actual parliamentary inquiry and the report with the recommendations that came from this? Because you're saying that an assessor outside of New South Wales can be called on as part of recommendation 9 of the parliamentary report. So if you could just please explain to our listeners a bit more about that parliamentary report and the recommendations.
So at the end of 2013 now, so 2 years ago, we finally managed to persuade the New South Wales upper house of the Parliament of New South Wales to have an inquiry into the Bowraville murders. And, you know, that didn't come easily. That has involved multiple protests by the family out the front of Parliament, repeated requests for an inquiry. But we eventually got that inquiry at the end of 2013. And I've got to say, it was a pretty extraordinary process. We had politicians all sides of politics. You know, myself as a Green, we had Labor MPs, and we had a fairly right-wing Liberal chair in charge of it. Heard from the families, heard about their, you know, the stressful way they've been disrespected for a quarter of a century. Heard from the police, and I think, you know, all of us shared respect for Gary Jubelin, the police officer who's been working on it. And then we delivered a report, you know, 12 months ago now. We delivered that report in the New South Wales Parliament, and there was not a dry eye in the House, you know, genuine emotional outpouring from every MP who's been on the committee. All of us making a collective commitment to right the wrong and do what we can to allow get the families justice. We're now 12 months down the track, and nothing much has moved. Nothing much has changed. And, you know, that probably the principal recommendation from the inquiry was a review of the double jeopardy laws. Well, the review's been done by Justice Wood, and he's just basically said, well, in his opinion, and I've got to say, I disagree with it utterly, he said there's nothing broken, nothing to fix. Well, I think the families and myself would disagree with him. Perhaps the second most important recommendation we made was that if there's a fresh application, a fresh double jeopardy application, that instead of going through the same jaded eyes in the Attorney General's Department and the DPP in New South Wales, which are likely to just refuse it again, that it needs to go to somebody independent, someone outside of New South Wales that hasn't got a preconceived view on it, who can fairly assess the evidence, fairly assess the law and give them a fair shake, because they need that consent in order to get to first base, to get before the Court of Criminal Appeal and actually argue the case properly before a court. I've been working with the families now for a year, working through this parliamentary process for 2 years. We get the emotional commitment from individual MPs, but we don't seem to get the institutional change we need to deliver justice. And I've got to say, you know, at the core of it, I think, you know, race still plays a factor in this. If these were three white kids from the North Shore of Sydney or from the eastern suburbs of Sydney, we would not be here a quarter of a century later trying to get a parliamentary fix. It would have already been fixed. And I can't help but think the fact that they're three Aboriginal kids from the mid-north coast of New South Wales, you know, out of sight, out of mind, from a marginal community in the eyes of the law. That's why they're still fighting to even get to first base. And I've given the commitment. I'm pretty sure there are other MPs in Parliament who have given a similar emotional commitment. But we need to make good on that. We need to fix the law, and we need to get them before a court so justice can be done.